Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to the weekend edition. Really glad to have you listening today. Well, in just a moment, you'll hear my conversation with Lynn Donovan about how to parent our children with biblical values when your spouse doesn't share your faith. I know that many of you will resonate with what Lynn has to say, and I just loved talking with her. Just a quick reminder, too, that you'll find this whole program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you've got a friend who will be encouraged by this message, you can share it with a click of a button through email, Facebook, or Twitter. And I want you to know that we love to hear from you. If there's a topic that you'd love for us to address, send us an email, susie@myfaithradio.com. We always love to hear from you. Same thing in regards to prayer requests. If you're going through something right now and you need someone to stand with you, we would love to stand with you. You could either call the Faith Line. You can stay anonymous if you need to. Here's the number, 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Or you can email susie@myfaithradio.com. Let us know how we can pray for you, and we will pray for you at staff meeting on Thursday mornings. So let me tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Lynn Donovan's a women's ministry leader, a retreat and conference speaker, a wife and mom. She founded the online ministry, spirituallyunequalmarriage.com, where she writes to encourage and equip spouses who are spiritually mismatched. She's written marriage and parenting articles for such magazines as Flourish and Focus on the Family. And she's a co-author of the award-winning book, Winning Him Without Words, 10 Keys to Thriving in Your Spiritually Mismatched Marriage. She and her husband, Mike, have been married for more than 20 years. They live in Temecula, California. And you can learn more about her on the web at mismatchedandthriving.com. Lynn, so glad to have you back with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Susie, it is always so much fun to spend time with you. I know how much you love God, and I just know this time together, God's going to anoint, and it's such a privilege to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we definitely are kindred spirits, so it's always just a blessing to have you here, and I love your heart. I endorse this book, and I said, you know, when I think about you, I think of humble, sincere, accessible, and you're a truth teller, so you're not just getting your arms around people to provide an easy way out. You're like, I'm with you, and this is doable, and I love that about your heart. So we like to start out our conversations talking scripture. And so wondering if there's a verse that the Lord's been speaking to you about these days, or even if you have a life verse you'd like to share.
You know, there's several. And as I think about what gets me through, especially dealing sometimes with the challenges that come with being in a marriage where there's two people who are loving each other, but yet we have different worldviews. And I would fall back on many scriptures at different times, but I think one that we all need at times is Philippians 4:13. For I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And there are days that I would just say that over and over, and it just seemed to so lift my spirit. And I also think, especially with this book, you know, we are not alone. God is walking with us. We can parent our kids and do it well and raise them in faith, even if we have to be the spiritual leader. And Hebrews 13:5b, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is our promise. It's everyone's promise that lives with Jesus in their heart. And those scriptures just bring such comfort to me. They are a promise I count on and I live for, and they bring me great comfort and joy. And we use a lot of scriptures throughout our book because God's word is so powerful. It's alive, it's active, and it's vital as we're moms walking out our faith in front of little ones and in front of an unbelieving spouse.
Indeed. And I love that you titled it Not Alone, because that's exactly the lie I'm sure the enemy would level against you if you're walking in a spiritually mismatched marriage. Is that right?
It is. And, you know, I think we as wives, and we're believers, and we are striving to live according to God's, you know, principles and his word, we often struggle with this whole thing about spiritual leadership. You know, I struggled with this myself for a long time. And it wasn't until I heard somewhere on the radio one time, someone said, if your husband has abdicated or is unwilling to fill that role as the spiritual leader of your home and your children, then God expects you as the believing mom to step into that role. And for me, it was like, oh, I have permission. And I stepped into that role, and I did it with, you know, humility and respect for my husband. But it just allowed me to open up and say, yes, I'm going to live my faith out loud in front of my kids, share with them my heart about Jesus, read bedtime stories, and become the true spiritual leader of the home until my husband comes to a place of faith and he wants to step into that role. It was very empowering for me. Mm. And I know as women, sometimes we struggle with that. Can I be the spiritual leader? Am I supposed to be the spiritual leader? And God, yes, is depending on you, Mom. If your husband is unwilling or unable, step into that role until he is. And God rewards and honors that. And it was very empowering for me, and it filled me up with hope, and I was able to step into that role with grace and love and help my kids thrive as well in their faith.
Well, I'm sure that was just a word of great encouragement for somebody just listening even right now. And for those who haven't heard our last couple shows with you, Lynn, give some backstory, first of all, on your faith journey, because I was so deeply encouraged as I'm going through this book again, prepping for today's show, some of your encouragement for those whose kids maybe have wandered. So go back to your faith journey and how you landed in a spiritually mismatched marriage, and then we'll start from there.
Okay, sounds good. I was actually raised in a home where we went to church. You know, I went to Sunday school every Sunday, and I learned to sing the songs and all of that. But, you know, Susie, I think I had more of a relationship with church than with the Lord God Almighty. Mm. And as years passed and I went into my 20s, I fell away, and I went on a complete prodigal journey. And that's why I love that story of the prodigal son, because I am the prodigal daughter. I ran after everything that the enemy told me was mine, you know, chasing career and vacations. And it was during that prodigal time when I was far away from God that I met my husband, and he was vastly different than me. And we fell in love, and we got married. And it was 3 years into my marriage when I was like, wait a minute, the world is still, it's hollow and shallow, and I became dissatisfied, and I heard my daddy pounding on the door of my heart, and he began to woo this little Sunday school girl home. Mm. And so I went running home to my father with his arms open wide and returned to my faith. And as I ran home, though, I was dragging behind me my spouse, who was kicking and screaming all the way. And to say that he was not happy with this new man in my life is an understatement. And it was 3 years into our marriage that I truly stepped off into this unequally yoked marriage. It's like, wait a minute, we really see life differently. He has different ideas about media and different ideas about, you know, raising kids. And at that time is when, you know, I became pregnant with our daughter. And so that's when it really became apparent to me. We have some very different ideas about how to live life. And I was growing in my faith. He was actually at the time very hostile about it. And I learned to keep my faith to myself because it created conflict. And we would have, you know, arguments over it. And I would think it was in that period in the early years that I stepped into this place where I was very lonely. And it's so baffling because you go, wait a minute, I'm married. I'm not supposed to feel lonely. But there are many of us, and across the board, usually at some point, if you're in a spiritually mismatched marriage, you will feel lonely. That's a hard place to navigate, but I actually pushed me further to understand God's will. I began to really read the Bible with a hunger, and I began to pray for my marriage and pray for my growth. I prayed for my husband, and God himself walked me through those years, and I believe, you know, that's how I came out years later with a deep and vibrant faith. And I actually am grateful now, looking back, that I had an unbelieving spouse because he really pushed me to know what I believed in. And I had to research and I had to read the Bible. And his unbelief actually was the cradle that grew my strong and vibrant faith. Hmm. Go figure that.
Isn't it? I mean, really, Lynn, that is the case. When we get over the angst of whatever it is God's not giving us, it's the catalyst to a deepening faith, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
You know, we want what we want, but not getting it so often grows us up. And so, wow. Well, you know, it's amazing. Your book, Winning Him Without Words, was the one we had you on before a couple of times, and people really responded to that show. And here, I mean, you've got a husband who's an unbeliever, and you're putting out a book, Winning Him Without Words. That speaks to the idea that you've gotten somewhere. You've hit this, you've hit a stride in your marriage, even, that he would bless and bless you to even form a ministry for spiritually mismatched marriages. Before we get into the whole idea of, you know, raising kids in this scenario, talk about how you got there and how he responds to the ministry that God has given you now.
Yeah, that's a really great story. That is God in the mix. Because we did come through years where he was very hostile about it. And it was several years ago, back in 2006, I was thinking about there are so little resources for people like me. We all feel like we're isolated and alone. We can't usually connect with anyone else at church. We don't know they feel the same way. And so I went to my husband and said, you know, I think I'd really like to start writing about what we've come through. You know, honey, is that okay if I write on a website and share some of our stories? And the greatest thing, he said to me, sweetie, if you could help one other couple to not go through what we've been through, then you go for it.
Wow.
And ever since then, he has been my biggest cheerleader in ministry. He supports it financially. He's proud of me that we're doing this work. And, you know, he hasn't crossed over the line yet, but he's come a long way. And what is the best part of this whole journey is I have a front row seat, and I watch God Almighty pursue my husband. He's relentless. He loves him more than I do. And it is sometimes astonishing to watch what God will do to get his attention, to prosper him, to love on him, because he's sanctified through my faith and my marriage, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians. And I just sometimes shake my head because it's so astonishing to see what he'll do to reveal himself to my husband and how he takes care of our marriage and how we can love each other, even though we don't have complete faith values that are the same. And God just, he loves on both of us and triumphs through so much. And it's really fun to watch.
Yeah, that is just such a testimony of not only God's faithfulness, but of your humility and your consistency. I just really honor you for that, Lynn, because it's what a beautiful example. I know of a woman who's in her late 60s now, I believe, and she really walked it out in a similar way. And she even went so far as to say, I'm going to trust that God has put him as a protection for me. So when he gets a little upset if I'm doing too much at church, I'm going to trust that that means I am doing a little too much and I need to temper it back. And that man came to the Lord, and God accelerated his growth, and he is the spiritual leader of their marriage now. And she just marvels. She's like, you know what I mean? Wow. And so, boy.
Susie, that is just so beautiful. I claim that testimony.
There you go.
For all of us who are still waiting for our spouse's salvation.
Amen.
And God will do it in our lives and in his perfect timing. I absolutely believe that.
Mm. Well, this whole idea of not alone, I mean, when you think about spiritually mismatched, this doesn't even just include the spouse who's a believer and the one who's an unbeliever. I mean, I travel around to conferences and hear from women all of the time saying, well, we're both believers. He's just not even at all engaged, or you know what I mean? And so this book really covers and encompasses a whole large population. So let's start here. And first of all, we're probably going to talk as if the woman is in and the husband's out, but don't take that to mean a general statement that it's always the man who's not the believer. We understand that. And but just so you know, for the sake of conversation, that's kind of where I think we'll probably default to at times. So, and you know, you're kind of writing it that way, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, because you're talking.
Yeah,
to women.
But I'm surprised there are many men, and usually several call in on radio programs like this because they are walking it out. They actually face absolutely the same things we do. It's like, how do I handle spiritual leadership and you know all the struggles that we have.
And for the record, women are walking out at record rate right now. Women are just, it's not fun, it's not, I don't like it anymore, and they're leaving. And sometimes they're leaving, you know, not, it's deeper levels and it's not fun, but men are, they're reeling because of the level of women who are walking away from families and homes. So we understand that. And so we'll just try to temper that conversation, but I just know I'm going to slip into she and he. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, sure.
And so anyway, so let's talk about this idea. If you got several kids, and you've got some kids who identify with your faith, and others are like, I want to stay home from church. Dad stays home. How do you navigate something like that?
That's a really good question, and one almost every one of us as spiritually single parents will wrangle with at some point. And, you know, Susie, for me, this is a hill that I would die on. Taking my child to church on Sunday morning is so critical that I know I would embrace that conflict with my husband and stand there with Jesus on my side to talk to him about sharing my faith in that way on a Sunday morning. And the reason for that is God made us for community. And we need to at least have our children exposed at one day a week to corporate worship and to see other families that interact and that are in church living out their faith. Our kids need to be exposed to other adults that can have an impact on them through Sunday school and to see how, you know, a father might share faith on a Sunday morning. Now, and I do recognize that there are some hostile situations where, you know, the father absolutely is emphatic about it, and I do believe that is an ongoing conversation. And that, you know, when it comes to sharing and parenting your faith, there has to be mutual love and respect. And at times, there has to be a place where you go, I respect your beliefs, and I ask you to respect mine. And the meeting place for me in this would be on Sunday mornings. I want to take the children to church. Now, how do you handle that, though, when little Johnny is no longer little? He's 16, and he says, you know, he's sitting on the couch Sunday morning, and you come out to go get in the car, and he's sitting on the couch with Dad watching football. Well, that's going to happen. And as young men grow older, you know, they do trend more towards what their father's doing. Not always, because I have some really great stories in the book about teenage boys who chose to go to church. They couldn't wait to get to church. I think it's how authentic we live our faith and how we love on our kids. And if we're hungry to go to church and we're hungry for more of God and we love talking about Jesus and we love spending time with him, that is so infectious and so they want to embrace that.
Yeah.
It's so appealing to them that they just feel like, I want what mom has. And so there might come a time when little Johnny says, you know, I'm going to stay home with Dad and watch television. You can't physically force him into the car. And that's when you go, okay, I've lived out my faith in front of this little boy all of his life. And I will continue to do that. And I will continue to pray for him by name. And I will ask God to light a fire in him. But it's kind of like Timothy. Timothy had the faith of his mother and his grandmother. And I love it that those stories are in the Bible where it talks about his genuine faith of his mother and his grandmother is what carried him through. And I believe in God's word. That's why those stories are there. That mom, if you are living your faith and you do it in a way that's infectious and it's an adventure and it's fun and it's appealing, your children will grasp that. They will take it with them into adulthood, and then they will live it out themselves, even if they go through a prodigal journey, because I'm living proof of that. I went through a prodigal journey, and God did not let go of me. My mom never stopped praying for me, and he welcomed me back and never stopped pursuing me, and I believe we keep praying for our kids by name every day. God is so faithful and will relentlessly pursue them to come back to the faith they had of their childhood.
Mm, so encouraging. You've got a number of encouraging stories like that in the book. And one that I loved was from, I honestly can't remember if it was a guy or a girl, but saying, Mom made me go to church. It was mandatory. And it's the very thing that kept me in the faith. Initially, I fought her on it. But once I got there, I fell in love with the whole idea of faith and community and just seeing how it's done. And so it's just so powerful to just say, I'm going to take a stand on this. And you can only take that so far, but to live it out in an honorable way. What a beautiful thing. So I've heard wives ask the question, do I wait until my husband becomes a spiritual leader before I take spiritual initiative in our home? Or do I just step up? Now, you touched on that if the husband isn't. But how do you do that in a way that doesn't feel undermining in any way?
That's a good question. And like I said before, I do believe we need to step into that role. And we write a lot about how do we share our faith and respect Dad while we wait for them to come to faith. And there's a paragraph in the book about doing that. And it's all about how we model our faith and our humility and our love for Jesus. You don't, for me, being over the top or demanding and, you know, demanding I'm going to do this and we're going to have nightly devotions for an hour here, I believe it goes much, much further if you're just living it out in front of your children's eyes. And you don't need to do that in front of dad every day and make him upset. You can just say, hey, I'm going to go tuck the kids into bed, and you get out their little children's Bible and read to them. I know one of the most profound moments I had of sharing my own personal faith with my daughter happened in the car. And I would drive her to school, and it was around middle school. You know, they all struggle in middle school. Mm. Every kid does. And I would see her anxiety rise as we get in the car and we start off, you know, that morning I'm driving her to school. And just, I would reach over and I would put my hand on her knee and I would just start to pray. And I call these prayer mobile prayers. And I would pray something like, Lord, you know, just help Katie to have a great day today. Give her something to smile about. Father, help her to do well on the science test. When she feels afraid, remind her to ask you to come and be with her. Lord, let her find someone to bring a smile to her face and let her bring some joy to another student at school. And I would say amen, and I would look over and she'd say amen. We'd smile at each other and all was right with the world for, you know, the next few hours. But modeling that faith, it was just every day talking to God prayers. One of the most powerful things I ever did was just to pray with her in the car and say, it was just a model. You can talk to God anywhere, anytime, driving in the car if you want to, walking around the school, and just ask God to be part of your day, to protect you, and to remind you who he is and to love on you. And that's one way to model your prayer life to your children. And it's very respectful of dad. You know, sometimes fathers object to prayer before meals. Well, you can pray silently to yourself. You can ask dad, is it okay if little Johnny says the prayer? I mean, there's a lot of ways just to include them and respect what they want. And I have found that over time, most dads like it that their kids get some kind of moral training. And in our case, at my house, once my husband, you know, in the early years got over the hostility and didn't feel so threatened because I loved on him and proved to him that my faith was only making me better,
It
wasn't a threat, then sharing faith with my daughter became a very natural and easy thing to do, even, you know, praying at meals or going to church and that kind of thing.
Boy, so important what you just said, even just walking it out in a way where you're loving God so much, letting him change you from the inside out, that you're becoming more loving towards your husband. That would be the fruit of walking closely with God. And I think women maybe lose their way when they dig their heels in. They get angry that that husband is not a spiritual leader. They, and their defenses are up, which makes the husband's defenses go up. And then they wonder why he won't step up. But when men feel backed in a corner, they're definitely not going to, you know, respond the way we want them to. So, wow, that's beautiful. Well, you say that we need to let go of our expectations and replace them with God's explanations. Say what you mean here.
Yeah, boy, we come into marriage with a lot of expectations as women, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we have to let go of a lot of those. And a lot that's true of any marriage, regardless if it's spiritually mismatched or not. And we need to let go of some of these unrealistic expectations. I know I came into my marriage with a ton of expectations. You know, there was no way a human man could meet all of them. And I let go of those over time, and I did that through God's Word. And God's Word is powerful, and I would read it, and I would literally see it jump off the page at me sometimes going, this is for me, Lynn, about loving him and allowing God to fill you up. And it releases our poor husbands who have been placed in a position to fill every need that their wives have, and it allows Jesus to fill us up, fills our heart, and fills our souls, and then it also allows our husband more freedom for him to find God on his own terms and not because we're pressuring him.
So good. Talking to Lynn Donovan, she's co-author of the new book, Not Alone, Trusting God to Help You Raise Godly Kids in a Spiritually Mismatched Home. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. We've got 9 copies to give away. Maybe you've got a question for Lynn today. Otherwise, I'd be interested to know, what did you learn from your parents about faith? 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We want to take your calls. You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Lynn Donovan about raising our kids in a spiritually mismatched home in just a moment. Only our God is strong to save. Don't you love that? A time of breakthrough is on its way. Don't give up hope. Keep praying. Keep believing. God is faithful to his promises. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Lynn Donovan today about her book, Not Alone, Trusting God to Help You Raise Godly Kids in a Spiritual Mismatched Home. Oh, God, arise. I love this song. So maybe you've got a question today for our guests. Otherwise, I'd have another question for you. How did you receive faith from your parents? What did they teach you about God? And maybe you've got some advice for a parent that is in a spiritually mismatched marriage, something you've learned. I asked that on Facebook at about 20 posts, and most of them say pray and wait, pray and believe, walk humbly, follow Jesus. What do you say? 877-933-2484. So, Lynn, you write about the importance of equipping our kids, and you'd say teach them about the power of prayer and the strength of the sword. I love that. Say more about that.
Yeah, and we have every opportunity, and it's a lot of fun to share, you know, scripture with our kids, and which is the sword of the Spirit. And I love it because we asked some of our readers, you know, how do you do that? And I love some of the stories. One of our readers, Deborah, she picks up the neighbor kid across the street and drives all of her kids to school. And they do this really fun thing where they put on, you know, they equip themselves with the Ephesians 6, the battle ready, the sword of the Spirit and the helmet, and they put that all on before they get to school. And I think it is so fun and clever. And even this little girl who does not go to church, you know, she puts on her helmet and her sword and everything else along with the rest of the kids, and she's ready to go to battle. And I think it's so cute how we can, through simple Bible stories. I know another mom who uses, you know, little toy models of a boy and a girl and princesses and all of that, and she shares stories with her kids and how to relate the Bible into terms that they can understand. There's a million and one ways that we can pass our faith to our kids. And very first one, of course, is living it out genuinely ourselves, which I've touched on before. But I also believe there are opportunities which I call teachable moments, capture teachable moments. And there are teachable moments that you can create, such as putting the kids in the car and having them put on, you know, the helmet of faith and all of that. Or you can, there are moments when our child will come to us and they're going to ask us a question, and their mind is going to be open for just a few short minutes to receive truth in love from their mom about God and Jesus and faith. And when those moments arrive, they usually never arrive when it's an opportune time. In fact, it's usually when I'm cooking or doing something that needs, you know, constant watching. But I have learned you need to stop what you're doing, get down on their level, give them your full attention, and quickly explain, you know, why doesn't Daddy go to church with us? Well, honey, you know, right now he just doesn't get it. But why don't you and I, we're just going to pray to Jesus and ask him that Dad would get to know him and that he'll start coming to church with us. You know, when my daughter was little, I'd give her an answer like that. And I'd say, okay, and she'd say, okay, and we'd pray a quick prayer for her Daddy to know Jesus. Or there's some other question that will come up, and we have to capture those moments because they're fleeting, but they are so precious, and a child's heart and soul is open to take in that truth if we'll just give it to them. Other times we have an opportunity to create them, and we have a whole bunch of stuff that we write about in the book about, especially coming up at the holiday season, where, you know, we can set out a nativity scene and tell the story as we have the kids help us to do that, or you know, an Advent wreath. There's a lot of different family faith projects that you can do throughout the year. I know one of my daughter's favorite is we would have a carton of Easter eggs that inside was a trinket that would tell the story of, you know, the week leading up to Christ's crucifixion and the resurrection. And the best part of the whole story, she would open the last egg and it would be empty. And it was, I would say to her, Katie, the egg is empty because Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. And that is what happens on Easter Sunday. So there's a million and one ways that we can fill our kids with the sword of the Spirit and teach them to pray. And it can be so precious. And I had a blast, and I still do, sharing truth and adventures with my kids. And now I'm my granddaughter.
Wow, congratulations on that. And, you know, it sure does go to show you how important it is to walk this out in a winsome way where it is real to us so that it can be real to them. Because if it is a list that you subscribe to and of these ought to's and should do's, that's how it will land with them. It'll be nothing that they want when it comes across that way, right?
Oh, they're so perceptive, even little kids. And the thing is, when your kids get older and they're teenagers, they have hard questions and they need real answers. Like, how can faith make a difference in my life in this mixed up message world that I live in? And man, when mom has lived in it, if she's living it with power, she believes it and she talks to her kids about it. Like, you know, this is how it works for me. I am choosing not to watch this program because it upsets my soul. It's not good for me. This is not what God would want. Mm-hmm. Wow. Your kids are watching you make a choice that I am not going to put that particular program on television into my soul. And it makes them see real choices as teenagers, how they walk that out in their life and how they take that into their adult faith.
How do you deal with it, Lynn, if you've got your child and maybe they're adolescent or teen and they're in a crisis? They go to you, they get one piece of advice, they go to your spouse, they get a conflicting piece of advice, and you see them all conflicted because they're getting kind of mixed messages. How do you navigate that? And how do you keep it maybe from, I mean, kids are so perceptive that they could divide and conquer as well using those differences. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's really good because that does happen. And you know what I found, Susie, is that we can get really fearful as a mother about, oh, my goodness, my daughter's going to get a different message from dad. And our kids do feel that tension. They really do feel the tension. Mom has a different view on this. Dad has a different view. And I think they take that in, and they listen to both of us. But you know what? I don't worry about that because, first of all, I serve the God Almighty, and I absolutely believe that the Holy Spirit lives strongly in me. And in 1 Corinthians, you know, chapter 7 and 14 through 20. Verses 12 through 14 is where it talks about we the moms sanctify our kids. And what that means is we walk into the room, we walk into our house, we change that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And we are going to bring the power of love and the Holy Spirit. And I, you know, my husband may have a different view, but I'm going to believe my prayers and my living out my faith and my gentle instruction and encouragement to my daughter is far superior to any kind of mixed message that she's going to receive.
So good.
And I believe that. And, you know, I interviewed some adult children who were raised in kind of these mismatched homes where they were raised with a mom who believed and a dad did not. One of the most profound things, I remember interviewing a woman, she said, you know, Lynn, God is enough, and he fills in those missing spots, those empty places where maybe I didn't have a dad that believed. And she said the most, what spoke to her the most about faith was watching her mom love her. And she said, I knew Jesus loved her that much because that love came out on me. And she just modeled it. And it would be ordinary, simple things. Like she told this story about coming home from school on a very hot day. And she'd have to walk up this really long hill, but her mother would be waiting at the top. And she had a glass of cold ice water waiting for her. And for her, that was such love. And it was like, I know my mother loves me. I know she believes in Jesus. And it made it so easy for her to step into that faith, even with conflicting voices coming at her. And I believe that's true for every kid, no matter if they're raised in a mismatched or not. You know, what if my mom believes this, and I can embrace that, and I know that God will fill in the blanks and fill in those empty spaces. And I just want every mom to be encouraged with that, because I know we become very fearful, like they're going to get a different message and I won't be able to talk above the noise. You can, Mom. Just love Jesus. Love Jesus with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It comes out of you. Your kids see it. They see that it's real, that it's trustworthy and true.
Mm. Well, when you love him first, you love them best. And see, that's what I hear in you, is a confidence in the Lord, not a convincing your kids, this is the way, you know, because otherwise they'll start to feel pulled left to the right, to the left, to the right. What I hear in you is, this truth stuff is true, and I am confident in the love of God. So you're not putting even the onus on you. You're putting it on the Lord. You're doing what you're offering, but the weight is on God. I hear that loud and clear, Lynn. But I imagine, though, that the temptation when you feel like you're almost a single parent spiritually is to worry. And you say, don't worry, become a warrior. So speak to that mom, even, or that dad who tends to worry, going, like, as you say, that other messages are going to, you know, maybe the spouse has a stronger personality than you and you feel like the weaker of the two, but you've got the stronger faith. But the temptation is to worry. Speak to that.
Oh, it so is. And I've lived that. I know what that feels like, to worry about your kids. Are they going to go the wrong direction because they're getting all these messages? And man, the prayers of a righteous person, that scripture so rises up in me. The prayers of a mama on her knees talking to God about her kids by name, that rattles the heavens.
Mm.
Mom, God loves to answer prayers, heartfelt prayers of a mom for her children. And every day, we as moms, the believing moms, must bring our kids before the mercy seat of God and talk to our Lord about our children by name. And because if we're not praying for them, who is? We need to be motivated out of love, and that surround them with protection, and ask God to put angels around them or a hedge of protection, and ask to go with them every day through the schools, and to put people around them that can encourage them in Christ's likeness, and that we can be there, a trustworthy shoulder for them to cry on, to seek advice from. And those prayers, they will rock the heavens. I am convinced God honors and listens to those heartfelt prayers when mamas utter them for their babies.
Mm, so good. Tell me this, is it scarier to say no to your kids when your spouse doesn't subscribe to your faith? Are you worried that you'll alienate them? Do you feel like you have to walk on eggshells or not?
There are times when you'll have conflict, and I know for in our house, it was video games. There were certain video games that my husband thought it was okay. I wasn't that comfortable with it. And I know I actually would sit down and talk to my daughter, or talk to her in the car, or say, you know, this video game is really violent, and this is something I would not choose to put into my life. And what I found is, over time, there might be once in a while she would want to see what it's about. You know, what is this? Is this TV program really that bad? Is this video game really, you know? And over time, I found she began choosing based on her own faith, which is so awesome, because that's what we want. We want our kids to grow their own faith, so that when they leave our homes, you know, they're making decisions because they want to please God and not their parents. And so there are times when my daughter wanted to explore something, dad thought it was okay, I didn't really agree, and Mike and I would have conflict in that area, and there is sometimes compromise in some of these smaller areas, but my daughter overall came to the conclusions herself, nope, this is not for me, I don't want to do it.
Mm.
And that, I believe, is out of modeling my faith year after year, loving on her, speaking truth about why, not just because I didn't want her to do it, but like, you know, this kind of violence or this scary movie, you're going to be having bad dreams tonight. Do you really want to have that going on? And I gave her very valid reasons and why it's not the right thing for her. And, you know, read a good book instead. And she began to make those choices all on her own. What a neat thing to be a parent and watch that happen in your child.
Indeed. And you also say this is about legacy, not legalism. Unpack that for us, if you would.
Oh, yeah, because the list of rules, and having a relationship with church like me, it doesn't stick. We, as believing moms and dads, are legacy makers. We are setting up the next generation to take faith to the nations. And that sounds really grand and glorious, but it's done one day at a time, 1 hour at a time, of living out your vibrant, real faith, of letting your kids find you reading your Bible. What an example. Letting your kids discover you praying for them every day by name and, you know, rattling the heavens for their sake and their benefit. That is a legacy maker. And what moms don't often know or realize is that it's years in the making, absolutely years in the making. And there are days when you're struggling with little ones and you're exhausted and tired and you're not getting a pat on the back and no one sees what you're doing. You know, there's poop in the bathtub and the dog just barfed and, you know, everything's going crazy. And you feel ill-equipped and unable to do this parenting thing. I just want you, Mom, to be encouraged, and I want you to pray and say, God, help me through this, because the legacy makers, it's a long-term payout. But you will watch your children as they move into adults, and all those years of pouring into them, all those years of encouraging them, all of those years of capturing teachable moments, you will watch that lived out in your adult children as they step off into their own lives. That's a legacy maker, and it's so powerful. And I just want to encourage every mother that just feels like it's so difficult. This parenting is so hard, and it is. There are days it's hard, and no one notices. But God is standing right there with you. He is your biggest cheerleader. He is going to be the one to help you get through it, and he is the one that's going to help you bring those kids around to a lasting and vibrant faith for themselves.
Indeed. Well, we've probably got about 6 minutes left. If you want to chime into the conversation, you can actually feel free to be anonymous if you've got a question for our guest today. Or maybe you've learned something along the way about raising kids in a spiritually mismatched marriage. You are not alone. And you know what? It's very, very common. We've got a good stack of books to give away. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Maybe you're busy getting your Thanksgiving meal ready, but you can multitask. You can call at the same time, right? 877-933-2484. Well, Lynn, you write about the importance of giving your child a voice and a cause. Break those two up and say what you mean there.
Well, I think we don't allow our children to even live out their faith as a child. And so giving them a voice allows them to speak out who they are and their questions. And right along with that is giving them a reason for their faith and a cause. And I think sometimes we need to encourage our children into generosity. And that's so easy to do, and oftentimes we miss this opportunities. And right now, especially as we move into the holiday season, a time to be generous. And, you know, we serve a generous Father. He has storehouses of heaven stored up for us to ask. And I think it's so great just to model generosity and encourage our kids to participate in that. There's a million little ways we can do that. I know shoeboxes. I know there was projects for shoeboxes where you've just filled them with little trinkets that you've saved all year, to be generous and to teach generosity to our kids. And that allows them to exercise their faith and to have an other's mindset, that not only do we love God, but we love other people. And we teach them generosity by modeling it, and we have a lot of family faith projects in our book that we talk about on how to do this.
Yeah.
And generosity, even if you weren't raised that way and you weren't raised with it as being generous yourself, that is something that comes out of a father's love. And when we teach that to them, oh my gosh, we can shock the world with generous kids.
Yeah. And engaging them on that level does change them, because it's part of their spiritual DNA. I mean, God loved us so much, he gave. And so when we engage our kids on that level, it really puts a feet to their faith, you know?
It does.
So good. So what do you mean about giving them a voice? Say more about that.
Well, when you give your child a voice, you're allowing, you know, sometimes I don't think we allow them to give, I guess what I want to say on that is that we don't, allow our children sometimes feedback or when they have doubts.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we need to really, they have serious questions. And sometimes we don't want to answer them or we're afraid to answer them because maybe we don't have the answers. And I think being honest with them and saying, you know, I don't know how to answer that question, but I will find out for you, and allow them to have a voice in their, you know, in their faith, how they can ask questions, you know, what does this mean, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
And to have a voice in their own world. Sometimes so many kids are shut down and they're not allowed to speak what's on their heart, or they're afraid to. And, you know, God listens to us and he allows us to speak what's really on our heart. And I think that is so great if we can model that for our kids and allow them that same kind of love and trust and that freedom.
Indeed. Well, we're going to be taking a couple quick calls here before we get ready to wrap up. Boy, the show's gone by fast. Kelly's calling in from Madison with a question. Kelly, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks.
Yes.
Hey, I've been married for about 2 years, and we are expecting our first child. And my husband, as far as I can see, I know he is a believer, but as far as I can see, he just doesn't really have that relationship with God. And he just really struggles with anxiety and depression. And it's just very stressful. And I just very much am concerned about how it's going to affect, you know, this kid when it starts growing up and sees how Dad handles life, and that, you know, that relationship with God and that dependence on God and getting God involved in your life. It's going to be very, you know, contrasting how I live. And I'm just really worried how to reconcile that, I guess.
Mm. First of all, Kelly, you're going to get a copy of Lynn's book and you'll love it. So what do you say, Lynn?
Oh, Kelly, I just want to throw my arms around you. I know what it's like to worry about our kids and that great unknown, like, Dad doesn't get this, he doesn't understand it, he doesn't like it, and I understand your worry.
I'm going to pause right here, Lynn. If you're on a cell, are you on a cell phone, Lynn?
No.
Oh, okay, because somehow you moved into a place of great static and we could barely hear you, so you sound perfect, so stay right there.
Am I good right here?
You're perfect now, so sorry, keep going.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry about that. Well, Kelly, I hope you can still hear me, because I just want to throw my arms around you. I do understand what it's like to worry so much for your children, but my friend, you just commit right now to that little baby growing in your womb that I am going to be a mama that loves Jesus with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and I'm committed to raising this baby to see life through your eyes, Jesus. And when Dad struggles and it's difficult, those will be teachable moments where you can say in love, Daddy's having a bad day, or point out, you know, some of the contrasts, and you can do that in love. We need to love Dad, and we need to surround him with the love of Jesus. And take your worries and turn them into prayers that are powerful, because the prayer of a powerful mama will availeth much, and your child will see that. He will see the contrast. You are a woman who lives with joy, with hope, with anticipation, with adventure. Every child will be attracted to that, and they will be able to see the contrast. And what will happen is that will even move them more for them to begin praying for their daddy for his healing from his depression and anger.
Mm, very good. Real quickly, we're going to take Nancy. Nancy's calling in from Wisconsin. Nancy, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. You know, I just wanted to first of all say thank you to both of you, because this has actually been very encouraging to this grandma's heart.
Mm.
Aw.
Because you see, we watch our grandchildren from mixed faith marriages, and we feel like we don't have any power, but yet I just wanted to share quickly that we prayed our daughter back, and now we get the privilege of praying our grandchildren back.
There you go, honey.
Oh, amen.
Kelly.
Amen, Nancy. Thank you. Your prayers mean so much to those grandkids, and God will set up moments where you can speak into their lives, and you will always be a safe place for them when they have questions or if they struggle. You're going to be a go-to place, Nancy, where those kids can come and you can tell them the truth and you can love on them, and you never stop praying for them, and you watch your prayers will do so much in the heavenlies for those children. Absolutely believe that.
Nancy, you get a copy as well, and I have to read this excerpt from the book, and then I'm going to have you speak to it, and then we got to pray. But this is from a friend of yours that sent an email about a prodigal daughter. It says, last Sunday, the Lord gave me a front row seat as he brought his daughter, my eldest daughter, back home. As a mother of a prodigal, there's nothing in this life sweeter than to witness her rebirth. Her birth was wonderful, but the birthing of her new life was extraordinary. Perhaps you're the parent of a prodigal whom you've prayed for and you feel there's not much hope. Can I tell you something? Please keep praying. Your prodigal has a day set and ordered by the Lord. If you think that it will happen in one particular way, please give up your idea to him and let him do the orchestrating of the music of that life. He has written the most beautiful score to be heard, and only he knows when it will be played. My day came quite unexpectedly in some ways, but then totally expected in others. Take heart, parents. Keep praying. Your prodigal is still being watched by the Almighty Eye. That about made me cry. So beautiful.
Makes me want to cry.
Oh, my goodness, Lynn. But maybe say another word to, you know, grandparents who are watching these grandkids be raised in mixed faith homes. Say a word, because even you kind of laid the gauntlet down saying, God wooed me back with his relentless love and the prayers of my mama. So say another word about the power of these prayers.
You know, I absolutely have watched how praying for my daughter impacted her life. I remember praying for a bully that was picking on her all of her senior year and watched how God took that situation, completely turned it around. And what you just read, to not limit God, just say, God, be in this prodigal child's life. Be in my life. Let me have the opportunity to speak into this child with love and not fear and worry, but to love them with the love of Christ and to be a voice that's trustworthy and true.
Yes, God.
That's what we can do.
He is on his throne and he moves in the prayers of his people. So, boy, if there's anything you got away from today, you took away, it's to be praying. Now, we just have a few seconds here. Lynn, would you pray for the parent listening today who's weary in well-doing?
Absolutely. Lord Jesus, we just ask right now that your Holy Spirit would flood these homes where these people have been listening and their parents and they feel alone. Remind them that you are standing there. You have always been there with them and their children, that you have great plans for them to prosper them and give them a hope and a future. Lord, let them lean into you fully. Let them love you out loud in front of little eyes and in front of the prodigal eyes. And Lord, lead them to the path where they are legacy makers and instill their lives with love, joy, and hope. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. You can find a full podcast of this program at our website, myfaithradio.com. And I'd love for you to share it with a friend who'd be encouraged by what our guests had to say today. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.